there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your time, whatever you're doing. I hope you're having a great time doing it. And if not, well, hey, change it up right now. You can do that. You're in charge. Remember, it's all about you. We're going to find out more about you and different ways of connecting with the world from one of the world's top authorities on out-of-body experiences. His name is William Buhlman, America's leading expert on that kind of thing. Matter of fact, for 4 decades ought to qualify him for expert at something. He's listening to me, so I better be good. The first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, talks about his journey and how he explored this out-of-body travel thing and beyond. And then there's another a whole lot of stuff he's involved with. I'll let him give you more details. But there are two things right now you can know. The Path Beyond the Physical is a DVD movie coming out that he's a part of that gives more information. And he also has his book, or his website, I'm sorry, astralinfo.org. So while you're listening, you can check that out and find out details. But I want to talk to him. Hi there. Do I call you William, Bill, or Mr. Buhlman?
Oh, Bill's fine. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I thought, okay, maybe I should ask. It could be a certain name. Okay. For the benefit of anybody who has not had your information in front of them, where and how did you decide to start focusing on this as your life's calling?
Well, I had my own out-of-body experience. I was not a believer at all in this. Matter of fact, if somebody would have told me that people could leave their bodies, I would have just said, you know, what are you smoking? I don't believe it. But I had my own experience spontaneously, and I discovered through quite shockingly that it was completely real. And it changed my life because then I realized that, you know, we're not just physical beings, that we have this capability of exploring these other energy dimensions beyond our body in full consciousness. And it was a total paradigm shift for me. I was in college at the time studying psychology and sociology, and this did not fit into any of the old molds. So it changed my life because it gave me an opportunity to begin to explore what I now consider to be my spiritual self, my inner self, beyond the body in full consciousness.
Okay, now you said you were in college. Was there anything, you know, people time explore in college? Was there anything else involved?
No, just it was self-initiated without any external substance. I found a book then. I detail this in my first book that has techniques that were available to self-initiate an out-of-body experience, which the whole concept seemed bizarre. And I did one of these techniques that I call the target technique, where I just focused my attention as I fell asleep on three objects that were separated from myself. And I did this every night for 30 nights. And And then that's what initiated my first conscious, self-initiated experience.
Did Robert Monroe factor into this in any way?
No, I had never heard of him at the time. Matter of fact, it was later that I learned about Robert Monroe after reading, you know, some of his works. That was actually much later, probably 10 years after the fact, where I learned about Robert Monroe.
Mm-hmm. And well, I would just question that you're involved now with some wonderful teachings and events with the Monroe Institute. And Bob Monroe is one of the people who has pioneered the field of out-of-body conscious awareness using hemisync, the type of technology that kind of helps people get into a better state, being more receptive to that kind of thing. So that's why I'm bringing that up. If you're listening, you want to do some more research, check out the Monroe Institute as well. So, okay. So you're... where did you go? What was that about when you were outside?
It was quite shocking. I felt a high vibratory feeling. I reached out my arm. I was in a dorm room at the time, actually, and I reached out my arm, which I thought was my physical arm, and my hand and arm actually entered the wall. And only then did I really realize that I was out of my body. I thought I'm standing. The next thing I knew, I was standing by the foot of my bed, and I realized that I was completely separated but fully conscious of my, you know, fully conscious, fully aware, but yet I'm separated from my body. And that's when it really hit me, my God, this is real. you know, this is, you know, why doesn't the world know about this?
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. And that's what makes this so exciting is that this is, you know, there's so many subjects that you have to believe or that they're intellectual. This is about having your own experience. There's no belief system attached to this. This is about teaching yourself to have your own experience and then proving, like for many people, it's about proving their own immortality and then taking it even further about exploring them, their multidimensional self.
Now, when you're doing this, you're saying multidimensional. Are you aware of like emotions and conscious, I guess we go back into the linear way of all of your bias and all of that kind of stuff. Does that character stuff go with you, or do you drop some of that when you go into the astral plane?
No, if on the astral you keep almost all of your you know, we carry our fears, we carry our stuff with us, which is one of the things that we have to overcome in our journey. But yes, we carry our own state of consciousness with us with all of our baggage. That's one of the first things I learned. You are still you. And that's, you know, for good or bad. So
yeah.
Many people have to deal with their own fears. They have to deal with their own issues. But yes, you do continue as you are.
Do you meet different kinds of characters, different kinds of energies and manifestations, like giant snake people? Do you have that kind of engagement?
No, I have not. I've met my mother who had died. I've met my uncle who had died. My engagements with others have been very physical-like in most. I think those type of experiences that you just mentioned, of course, sound a little shamanic.
But
they also get a lot of publicity. Most people that have out-of-body experiences report it to be a very physical-like event where they actually communicate with, face-to-face, with their loved ones in many times. I mean, in this, like my mother, she died when she was 70 and she was quite overweight. When I met her out of body, which was very much shocking and face to face, she was about 25 years old and beautiful and young. But yet I instantly knew that was her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people report, that type of arrangements. It's a much more physical-like event than what you would imagine. Especially at the beginning where you're still in the denser energy worlds. Closer to what we would perceive as matter.
Mm-hmm. Part of this, I've had my own experiences since I was a kid. One of the ones that was very vivid was doing when I was at the dentist's office having my wisdom teeth removed. I went out afterwards and told and was talking with my mom about it. And then I realized I had this memory of looking over his shoulder and seeing what my teeth, you know, seeing the blood, seeing all this stuff from looking the perspective that would have been above his shoulder looking into my mouth. And I realized, wait a second. And that was the first time I was physically conscious, you know, while I was awake, knowing that I had done something and it was very real because there was something, it was an anomalous experience. Whereas, you know, you, as a kid, you have these dreams, you're flying over your school, flying, doing things and coming back and just thinking, well, it was a dream. This was finally a place where I could see this wasn't a dream. This was me, and I was outside, and I existed outside there, too. So that was one of the first profound ones that made that connection much more of a reality for me. But then you don't talk about it to anybody, because at that point, there's no one to confide in.
And that's unfortunate, because, you know, there's tens of millions of people that have that type of experience, but they keep it to themselves. I did a survey that has almost 18,000 respondents. And most people, a lot of people would say they sent the information to me, but they couldn't even tell their husband or their wife because they were afraid that they would appear strange. But those days are starting to change. More and more people are opening up to the fact that this is a reality. You know, when you think about it, if we are pure consciousness or soul, we're not a body. So what is the most natural thing for us to experience is but our true self, which is not physical. So actually, an out-of-body experience is not a strange event. It's a natural event where you just experience your true non-physical self. That is what we all will be going to anyway. So it's becoming more and more accepted now socially that this is not some kind of weird stuff, which is good. I mean, people are opening up to the fact that this is just a reality.
You know, I think it's about time, because growing up as a kid, I had Fate magazine and whatever ghost story I could get, Rod Serling, or, you know, mm-hmm. I had all of those things. And yet I had my own experiences. My reality was not the same as everybody else's. And it just was frustrating because there were no communities or organizations where people shared this kind of event as just a part of living and a part of, I mean, fortunately, I did have my family. My mom and my grandmother were very, very helpful, but it was one of those things where there wasn't in my area a greater community where these things were freely spoken of. Fortunately, I was also in Topeka, Kansas. That was where the Menninger Institute was, and they brought people from all over the world and interviewed them as part of their consciousness studies and that kind of thing. So I was in a community that did have access to some really phenomenal information. But just now, this kind of stuff is beginning to hit a greater audience of people who are coming out of their collective shells and saying, yes. Hey, me too. You know, so it's wonderful. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I receive hundreds and hundreds of letters and emails from people that say just that to me. My God, that happened to me. You know, women are during childbirth or having out-of-body experiences. I mean, people just while they're sleeping or dozing off suddenly find themselves separated from their bodies. And now they're just starting to talk about it. It's a much more common phenomena than anyone ever dreamed in the past, because now people are just coming forward, which is wonderful. Plus, there's a lot of books. There's a lot more info about the topic that's, you know, readily available, which is good. And there's a lot of scientific even studies, but mostly the center of it for a lot of people is the Monroe Institute. That's where a lot of the, people, it's a community devoted to exploring and experiencing altered states of consciousness is as scientific as you can.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances. It's not a new agey type of thing. It's not a bunch of nutcases running around. These are a lot of engineers involved, a lot of very credible people that are involved in studying the expansion of consciousness. And that's what we need nowadays.
Well, my grandmother went there back in when we were tracing the roots with Carol. At one point she was the director there, and we were trying to trace the roots probably about 1989, basically about the beginning of his studies and schools and seminars. And I think she spent a week there, and we were trying to figure out what that experience could have been like. And I remember when she came home, she was just on cloud nine and talking to my mom and I, and we're sitting in the bedroom on my bed. I have no recollection of what she told us. I wish I did. but just the fact that she went someplace where people were exploring this and taking it seriously for her was very validating.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that's so fun about the entire, all the workshops at the Monroe Institute. As you know, I'm the instructor or the facilitator for the OBE intensive class that's there. It's 6 days long, and it's intensive. I mean, all the participants get to experience OBE techniques in their own, what we call a check chamber. And it's many people find it extremely exciting, let's put it that way, and informative.
And the other thing, too, could you discern, you know, give us a little bit of, some people do lucid dreaming, and that isn't quite the same thing as an out-of-body experience. Sometimes.
No, it's not.
Ahead.
I consider lucid dreaming to be, I look at the states of consciousness as a continuum, and I feel that lucid dreaming, there's dreams, and then there's lucid dreams, which, of course, there's more conscious awareness present in that experience, which is, in a sense, it's a step up, an enhancement of your state of consciousness. And then beyond lucid dreaming, that's when OBEs kick in. That's when you are fully conscious and fully aware, but you're also separated from your body. In a lucid dream, you are very much conscious, but for most people, you're not separated from your body.
But no, I remember recently there was
reality.
There was a lucid dream, and I was so thrilled because okay, I've done it. And then I ran because I knew I was at work. I had to go see. I wanted a mirror to see what I looked like in this particular dream so I could see if it was the same person that I went to sleep as. And then I just, but I was doing like the touchdown dance, go under the door and realizing, oh, darn it, this is I'm just awake in the dream. I'm not out of the body at this moment. But that feeling of euphoria when you know you've reached certain levels and you have this sense of, okay, I jumped the hurdle. You know, out of all the experiences, once you begin to get more of yourself in order, there's a great sense of freedom that comes with that. And a lot, and for me, there's this fearlessness of, okay, there aren't the limits that we have been given. There's so much more here that we have to explore and discover.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, we're just tapping into our potential. I mean, it's amazing what's available to us. And what we're capable of. I mean, that is what's exciting about this, and that people do it for themselves, and that's what really turns people on. Is that, you know, so many things is about a belief system, or there's rules attached to do this and don't do this. And that's out of body exploration is about you having your own experience and proving it to yourself, and then taking it as far as you wish to take it. Because it's all about that inner journey. And there's so many things that people learn, and that's, of course, my third book coming out devoted to this topic. But we're just starting to scratch the surface of what we are, because as consciousness, we're far more than just a biological being. That's just the outer vehicle that we're using to learn and grow in this epidermis layer of the universe. And an out-of-body experience is actually you're shifting your awareness to a less dense, more subtle energy body that you already possess within yourself. And you're experiencing this parallel dimension of reality. And it's there. It doesn't matter what you believe or not. It's you get to explore it yourself. And that's what's exciting.
Is that The Secret of the Soul you're talking about, the new book?
Well, I have a new book coming out in May called Adventures in the Afterlife. Which,
oh, that's another one. Okay.
Yes. It'll be my first book in 12 years. But it's also about out-of-body experiences and about what a lot of it is about what I experienced, what people commonly call the afterlife, which is strictly just other dimensions of reality that we've put this strange label on. But, you know, I quickly found we live in a multidimensional universe, and the physical world is the epidermis layer. And when you have an OBE or near-death experience, you're just entering into a more subtle substructure of matter. And as you move inward within yourself, you move through different energy dimensions. And this is all... And this what's exciting for people is that they can explore this on their own. Like many people write to me and say, man, I feel like Christopher Columbus, you know, because I'm exploring this new dimension, this new world.
Yeah.
And it is exciting.
Now, for you, my thing changed when made other connections with reality that still, you know, it's difficult to talk about because it happens every day and it shifts my world because there are interactions with energies you can't see, but they do affect the lights. And this, my companion is an energy that basically manipulates a nightlight. Wherever I go, this is my experience. This is my reality. It started in 97. I was really, really just scared spitless that it would go away. Because it was like, oh my gosh, I've had this little miracle and it's probably going to go away. And it hasn't. It's gotten stronger. I've also developed myself a whole lot more all across the board in terms of being able to connect with that non-physical. But it's different for everybody. And with this kind of thing, when you first, or at least when I first started exploring, I met non-physical guides who would help me and put me into certain states. And one time they took me to a shaman and we did a hypnosis session. I took a girlfriend because I knew my own fear would prevent me from doing anything if I felt like I wasn't secure or in a safe environment. And so I took her with me, and what they did was they gave a count, and it just one point I was out of my body and I was looking at this little speck of light. So from that vantage point, everything in the room was complete black, except for this little dot that looked like an egg and colorful down below me. And that was when I knew I was in two places at once, because I could feel everything and yet I could see from that vantage point. And that didn't happen. It happened because it was a guided suggestion from outside of me. Do you have those kind of experiences?
Yes, yes. I think we all have guides. And different guides even, or experts in certain areas of our life. But yes, I do have that, and I write about it in my books. Almost everyone apparently has some kind of guidance available to them. You know, we're not alone at all. And that's comforting for a lot of people, that our whole purpose for being in the physical world is to learn through experience. And these call it what you will, but these guides are here to assist us in our progress. And often, it doesn't mean you're going to see them necessarily during an out-of-body experience, but many people feel their presence. And they feel, let's just say, secure, feel safe. And they just know that they're being helped along the way. Now, and of course, it depends on the individual. In my latest book, the name of the guide is Remy, actually, but it's a very important part of people's lives once they begin their inner journey.
See, that part of it, I think, is for some people, it's intimidating or it's off-putting if they don't have a specific thing that they can call it, a label, a group, a category, and I think at that point, it becomes something that they doubt and they're frightened about. That little bit of insecurity, that little self-doubt, it will derail you quicker than anything else. Sometimes having a name, a label, somewhere to organize this in your frame of reference brings a whole lot more comfort to these experiences. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. A lot of people have personal names for their guides. It does. It helps to bring it down to earth for them. The whole idea for many people, and the big block in out-of-body exploration, is fear. Because we've been conditioned from birth to believe that we are just a physical body, a hunk of flesh, essentially. And no matter all this theory of spirit, very few can connect with what that means. So the idea of going beyond the body is, for many people, scary. So the whole idea of having a personal guide and having that connection really eases that fear barrier. I call it the fear barrier, because everybody essentially has it, especially with those of us that grew up in, you know, a Judeo-Christian background. This really helps us to get over that, I feel. And one of the main purposes for the guide's presence is to to provide security so that we feel safe to explore the true essence of ourself beyond the body.
I think part of it too is that once you get to that point of letting that particular fear go, this whole world goes up in smoke. That was an illusion that you were stuck and that this is all there is. And it really is comforting in a whole different way. It's like you can relax and finally just live and just be here.
Well, it finally puts things into perspective, because you realize this is just a temporary, very, very temporary, fleeting moment in your eternity. Because we're all eternal. We're all immortal. That's one thing you know when you have OBEs. And that's one of the reasons, one of the first things that people, I think, get from it, that they always... At least that's the response I always have from many, many people. And that's a big, big step when you know that. And then suddenly the daily dramas of life take on a whole different meaning, whole different perspective because you're looking at yourself from a much greater, more expansive viewpoint. And you begin to see that, yes, I'm evolving. I'm learning through my experiences, but I'm much more than this. And I think it really helps people in their day-to-day life dealing with their issues.
I agree. Hey, we're going to have to take a quick break. The movie you're involved in, it's The Path Beyond the Physical. Let's talk about that in this next break, because that'll give people a chance to see some more information from you and about some of the others who also are, you know, in this wonderful exploration of consciousness. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Empower Radio Conscious Living. We're talking with Bill Buhlmann. Back in a few.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems?
It showed up in my life through one of my best friends. And we've been friends for over 30 years.
Share your story.
If we would have known earlier, you know, we would have been much more supportive with her.
Once I reached out to my sister, it got a little better. Once I told my mother, it got a little better. The more I talked about it, I felt it coming off.
The healing is in me, and the healing in a journey can also be extended to others.
It's our community and our mental health.
Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing.
If you're strong enough to just open your mouth, that's all it takes.
And the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
It's time to share ourselves. Healing starts with us. Search online for Stories That Heal. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Hi, I'm Idina Menzel. My music has helped me become a Tony Award-winning singer and songwriter. This is Mamuda Akhtar. Her training has helped Mamuda become the local health worker for her village in Bangladesh. Every day, she helps the children in her community survive some of the leading causes of child mortality worldwide. The only reward that Mamuda gets for her work is the sound of healthy children. It's music to her ears. When you help local health workers like Mamuda, you help so many children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org. Find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems?
It showed up in my life through one of my best friends. And we've been friends for over 30 years.
Share your story.
If we would have known earlier, you know, we would have been much more supportive with her.
Once I reached out to my sister, it got a little better. Once I told my mother, it got a little better. The more I talked about it, I felt it coming off.
The healing is in me, and the healing in a journey can also be extended to others.
It's our community and our mental health.
Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing.
If you're strong enough to just open your mouth, that's all it takes.
And the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
It's time to share ourselves. Healing starts with us. Search online for Stories That Heal. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. You're listening to Empower Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time, and thank you for the downloads and all the attention and all of the sharing. It's really amazing, the things that we are discovering about ourselves, and we are just barely at the tip of the iceberg on this stuff, especially when it comes to consciousness and what we are capable of with our non-physical being, that other body that is a bigger part of us. Talking with Bill Buhlmann, who is also featured in a movie, The Path Beyond the Physical. And it's kind of showcases the Monroe Institute, and there are a couple of other guys on there talking about consciousness and really that there's no separation between our physical body and that conscious awareness. It's a greater piece of everything out there. You're in this film, and what was the best part of that?
Well, it was fun to do it. I was living in Michigan at the time, and It was a fun experience. They just come into my home and basically film me in my library for about 4 hours, asking me questions, and then they just edit different things into the movie. But the producers did a very nice job in the editing process. I was very pleased with the end result.
Yeah, that's the thing when they're doing stuff like this. This show isn't edited, by the way. It's all here. But you never know what's going to be, you know, the outtakes and how it will look in the final result. And, you know, you hear people saying, well, I was there for, you know, 4 hours and they used 2 minutes. So they didn't do that to you.
No. There's a third film eventually will be released also. This particular film I thought was extremely well done. I liked the way they presented the history of consciousness research at the Monroe Institute. And, of course, all the people that were involved in it were all, you know, well-known people that have been, let's just say, involved in consciousness research for over three decades.
Well, I'll mention
some serious people that were in the film.
Yeah, I'll mention a couple names. Skip Atwater, people might recognize the name due to the remote viewing aspect of it. That's been something he's been tagged with, is the remote viewing. Yes. And then Thomas Campbell, he's a NASA physicist and the author of My Big Toe, the trilogy. And these people who are involved, as you were mentioning before about the Monroe Institute, it isn't, a fun little New Age community where we go practice saying affirmations. It's more serious, trying to get people to be able to somehow make themselves more receptive or more able to activate their own experience, their own, or initiate their own consciousness expansion. And to me, that gives it a different direction. It's a self-empowering thing of you're constantly learning, exploring, awakening, initiating, integrating. It's a very proactive state of being, and that's just the way I frame it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's very well said. It's exactly it. It's all about the expansion of consciousness and self-empowerment. And there's no airy-fairy stuff. There's no belief systems, which I especially appreciate. It's all about let's have our own deep inner experiences and explore our inner self to the best of our abilities. Now, at the Monroe Institute, as you know, they developed something called HemiSync. So we use sound frequencies to help people to get into meditative states of consciousness. And that helps many people to let go and let's just say experience deeper states than they would in the comfort of their own home sometimes. So there's a lot of technology that's incorporated. And everything is designed to help the individual, though, to empower themselves and to explore themselves. And the end result is, for people, it's a tremendous amount of fun. And a lot of people, there's been 45,000 people that have attended Gateway alone over the three decades. And many people come back and re-experience it because they loved it so much. So there's a lot to offer, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, for you, in all of this research and studying and the information that you've gleaned from your surveys, have there been some standout experiences or stories that you could share that wouldn't be breaking a privilege or some kind of social, I promise not to divulge this information?
Well, there's been so many of those that it's hard for me to bring up just one.
We've got time for more than one.
Okay. Well, we, many people report, let's just say, they have experiences where they overcome their own individual fears through a confrontation. That occurs with some people, where they actually, and I write about this as one of my experiences also, where I was, during an out-of-body experience, I was confronted by an energy form that was just a manifestation of my own fear. and by standing firm, that dissipates. And suddenly you feel incredibly empowered. That manifests in many people. But I think one of the most standout experiences I've had several pregnant women that have written to me and have said they've had OBEs while they were pregnant, and they have actually communicated with their future child face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, these are reports I get. In other words, before the baby is born, the soul is already there ready to incarnate.
Yeah.
Call it what you will, soul, astral body, but it is ready to incarnate, and they've actually met their future child and have a communication, and they actually learn what they're there to learn and what the inner what is the reason for that particular soul choosing that mother. And that's actually disclosed to the mother, which is mind-blowing. I mean, that goes beyond, since I'm not a female, I can't even relate to some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of stories I get, because everything goes so far beyond the physical. We're so fixated on the physical world as being the only reality, when in truth, it's just a thin outer epidermis layer. It's like a little, it's one of the many training grounds of consciousness. And that's how it's used as for consciousness. So when we enter a physical body and begin our life, our body is a tool of education for us and evolution.
Yeah.
Because evolution is not about physical changes. Evolution is about the evolution of consciousness and about the growth of consciousness. And all these dramas that happen in the physical world are part of that process. Even war, surprisingly. There's reasons behind these things, because we develop qualities through first-hand gut-wrenching experiences.
Yeah.
And that's how we learn, good, bad, or indifferent. That's why wars still exist. As an immortal soul, you could not develop courage unless you were placed in a situation where you had to use courage. Be courageous in your life. As an immortal soul, you can't die. There'd be no fear. There'd be no... But how do you incorporate that into your, let's just say, your total self? You put yourself in a situation where you have to experience that essence, whatever it may be. And that goes for everything. That's what I found. And that's the type of things that people share with me. They get the meaning behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody calls this the curtain, which in a way is not a bad analogy. But once you begin to have out-of-body experiences, you go behind the curtain and you start to see why. Why is my whole life like this? Why am I having this drama? Why did I have that disease? Did this person die? Goes on and on and on, because there are reasons. And you get to get a peek behind the curtain and actually see the answers. And it's mind-blowing for people. It's like, oh my God, this is just a training ground. One of millions of training grounds. And I'm evolving through my own experiences.
So when you have encounters with other beings in these other dimensions, other planes, other worlds, other realities, do they include extraterrestrials? Do they include animals? They include non-physical?
Oh, yeah. Everything you can imagine exists. That's what I have found. And by the way, let me just say this as clearly as I can. We, as consciousness, are not human. The human form is a temporary energy body we are using to gain experience. Pure consciousness is what we are. We exist beyond these humanoid forms. During an extended out-of-body experience, I've had this happen to myself many, many times, and many people, thousands of people, have shared this with me also. When you extend an out-of-body experience beyond the astral dimension, you will lose all humanoid form. and you will become essentially like a globe of consciousness. And then if you take it even further, you become like a pinpoint of consciousness. The humanoid form is just a temporary vehicle of expression that we are using now to grow, to learn, and evolve. So this whole concept of what is alien becomes almost silly.
Yeah,
because we're all
point.
Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's in a body is an alien because that body is alien to consciousness. So yes, there are many different forms available, endless amount of forms that are growing and learning. But at our core, we're all the same. We're all the same as consciousness. We're just using different energy bodies for our own personal evolution.
I remember a long time ago when I had a dream and I was given access to my, what I would call an angel book. And I was so thrilled because I remembered, I was awake. I remembered why I was here, what I was supposed to do. And it was like, oh, it was all so clear. And then I had to wake up and I went through this gray cloud. And as my last little thing, as I'm dropping back into my body, this book will not come from that dimension here. I was so peeved. But the knowing at that point, it was a relief. And then the next, the next cool connection was that, knowing that we were many different forms. And I had a nephew at the time, he was about 4, and I had a German Shepherd named Max, a beautiful, beautiful dog, a kind of a guardian, and I had been given information of why he was in my life. Anyway, the little boy told me, he said, I remember him. I remember him. And I said, well, what do you remember? Well, we came from the blue ball. I said, well, what was it? He says, well, the blue. And he made this little round circle, like about the size of a basketball, that they both came from this blue light. And of course, that didn't make sense to his parents or anybody else, but I knew with my experience of being a glowing ball of light and having three different senses of awareness, being the observer of the glowing ball, seeing the body, and then seeing the glowing ball, that we were so much bigger and had different origins than what we have been guided through our history and our linear way of thought here on this physical plane that is our origin. It's just incredible. And the kids know that coming in, and eventually we forget it to know more. Ha ha.
Oh yeah. It is. It's great when you start to tap into this because you get such a wider perspective. It definitely places your daily, let's just say, challenges in perspective.
Yeah.
Because you get this, you know where you really going, and you know that this is all just a temporary training ground for consciousness. And it gives you that added, let's just say, feeling of security that I can handle this. This is not the big deal that I thought it was initially.
You redirect your
know
energy.
This, yeah, I know this probably better than anyone because in March of 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the lymph nodes and tonsils. And it didn't scare me because I knew, number one, I knew I was immortal, but I also knew when I was out of body, I could request healing. So 6 months later, I had a full recovery. But the bottom line is, I wasn't terrified of, even though, when you get that diagnosis of stage 4, people freak out.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I knew from all of my experiences that, that death doesn't even exist. So it didn't scare me. And I also knew that from my own experiences that I could, let's just say, impact my energy body. So it gives you such a deeper understanding of what's going on around you that it's hard to express this to other people because they're so locked into that temporary facade. All these, I am a man or I am an American or everybody's so attached to their little labels. And once you get out of that box and you begin to understand how expansive you are, the limits drop away and you truly do become self-empowered in many, many ways.
Well, people, there's a comfort that comes with the label. And then when you lose the label, like I am employed, I am a mother, I am all of these things that say that you have a social status or a way of being recognized in society, when those are blown away and you have to start over and say, I'm homeless, or I have an illness that might be incurable. Once you attach yourself to that, then you really become limited and you realize, oh my gosh, maybe I don't want that label. Maybe I want to be more. And that's what all of this, you know, self-empowerment stuff is about. I don't want to be just a certain type of American or a certain type yeah. of being. I want to be something that has more potential, not just a label. And
absolutely.
We fight that every day with different labels and categorizing.
Oh, absolutely. One of the first techniques I do in my workshop at the Monroe Institute is I call it peeling the onion. Everybody goes into a deep state of consciousness, and I have them through a guided meditation. They peel away all of the outer trappings of their physical life and their self-identity. They peel away all this. You know, I'm an American, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a mother, father. All that gets peeled away. That's the first thing I do in my workshop, because I consider it to be essential. Because as long as we're attached to that facade, which is truly what it is, and yes, right now we're using it, but it's just a facade that will pass away as soon as we make that transfer of consciousness. That we call death. I mean, that all that ends. So it's all temporary. And once we let go of that, we're more open to tap into our true essence beyond those labels. It's so important.
One of the fun things I get, the guides I work with, they have such wonderful senses of humor. And so they'll give me little labels or limericks or jokes or, you know, sayings, isms. One of them was, it's all about being we, and the only way I can be a better we is to know more about me. So find out about me, and you'll know we.
yes, it's true.
It's just that thing of, okay, so who am me?
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of ways of thinking outside the box, and just that joking, that good-natured whimsy that comes along with this feeling when you decide that you are no longer stuck by whatever label it is you've been born into, but you're free to explore and maybe determine another way of being, another state of being that lives beyond the labels. It's just an amazing space that we've chosen to inhabit right now, where we are free to do a lot more of this exploring than I think we've been at any time in our history, at least on this magnitude.
Yes, I agree. That's one of the good things about this new film. Really, I think, delves into that. It really delves deep, I think, into that whole idea of exploring yourself beyond just the physical facade. Learn more about what you are, because that's what's going to continue. All this other stuff is going to just be fleeting moments in time. All of these things that, you know, cars and houses and belief systems, the important stuff is what lies deep within us, and that's what we have to connect with. And that's the whole purpose for OBEs, by the way. That's why this is all interconnected. Many people discover this in the flash of a moment. And I like to make this clear, this is not about some intellectual pursuit, even though we try to make it as scientific as possible. This is about people having profound personal experiences themselves, every individual having a profound experience for themselves, because that's where the knowledge comes from. It's not about mentally trying to figure out the universe, and you know, and there's a lot of people trying to do that, trying to micromanage the universe through their mind. This is about going beyond the mind, if at all possible, and experiencing your spiritual essence that exists beyond thought and form and beliefs and all that stuff. And that's what makes this so empowering and, may I say, fun for those that do have the experiences.
Well, and for the people who can say, I had stage 4 cancer and I'm here. With you, you have the ability now to be a billboard for people who say, look, he healed himself while he was out of the body state. He went into the non-physical state and asked for healing. And guess what? Here he is. How did, yeah, you know, That's huge.
Well, and I think I had the experience so I could write this book about it. And that's what the new book is about.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially is about my, call it visions or experiences that I had during this journey. And that's what I try to get across in the book, is how this progression of consciousness, and I go into the healing aspects. But most importantly, it's an examination of what people experience. And it's an objective, non-religious observation and exploration of what is commonly referred to as the afterlife. And what I've tried to do to the best of my ability is strip away all the religious overtones and facade. This is what I experienced. And I think it's going to be quite an eye-opener for a lot of people, because it's quite detailed. I talk about all the many dimensions, all the schools that are available to people based on their state of consciousness, basically how heaven is a state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
This concept of heaven is about consciousness and groupings of people that have the same approximate state of consciousness end up together, creating their own consensus realities. And then people in, 2,000 years ago, what do we call this? Heaven. Yes, you went to heaven. But it's a lot more than meets the eye, and that's what I thought it was important to get out there. That, we have this tremendous future ahead of us, and presented to us now, because we have the ability to experience these realities now. We don't have to wait until some time in the future. Everything's available to us right this moment, if we just open to it.
Can we change the way the planet's going at the moment with all of these
Absolutely.
Little skirmishes people, and the environment and stuff?
Absolutely. Everything can be changed if enough people are willing to change their state of consciousness and focus. Everything could be changed. But, it's like the old 100 monkey thing.
Yeah.
You gotta have it.
Yeah.
As long as people live in fear, and that's what fuels fear-based environments, is fear.
Hey, Bill, I think that 100 is out there. I think we're at 99. We just have to find that 100 and get him to wake up, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
We're that close.
That's one of the reasons for this show.
Yeah. Well, there's so much more positive now with people sharing this and not feeling intimidated or frightened we are in a different space categorically all across the planet, and that with this internet we have become more aware of others like us who are saying, hey, what's here? What else can we find? What's the name of your new book again that's coming out in May?
It'd be Adventures in the Afterlife.
Okay, and your website for people who want to sign up, find classes or newsletter?
www.astralinfo.org. There's a tremendous amount of free information available on OBEs and spiritual empowerment through our own personal experiences.
Okay. And then the Path Beyond the Physical, that's a documentary series that you're part of, and that's available at thepathseries.com.
Yes, thepathseries.com. I have links on my website to that. And on April the 11th, by the way, for those in New York, there is a screening to occur. I believe it's April the 11th at 6:30. I have it on my website, but myself, Paul Rademacher, will be there for. They'll screen the film, and then we'll do a Q&A with the producer, the director, and myself and Paul.
Cool.
So
and we'd like to get
time.
You in Kansas City too. We'll work on that. So, Mr. Buhlman, I really appreciate your time, Bill. I just have no words to express how wonderful I think what you are adding to the equation is. And I'm glad you brought an even bigger message with the stage 4 cancer and going and getting some healing for that. Because this is one of the things that we are all going toward, is this perfecting our ability to, in some way, shape, or form, enhance our conscious being in this reality. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time as well. Conscious Living with Wendy Garrett is on Facebook. You can check it out. In the meantime, have a wonderful day and think the best thoughts. That's what comes back to you.